Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fuck Knicks? What's happening? I'm Mark Maron. This is my podcast, WTF. Welcome to it. What's going on? I hope you're doing all right. I know the last time I talked to a lot of you, I was a little panicky. I was a little out of my head, a little worked up. Well, I am in Vancouver now for the first little jaunt for a few days. I'm up here. That's why it sounds a little different. I'm on a mic in a room, and the room has tile in it. I've sublet, or what do you call it? I'm renting an apartment downtown Vancouver. It's weird because I'm very close to the hotel that I really loved in Vancouver. It's closed right now for renovations, but it's not far from where I am. And I remember one of the reasons why I loved that hotel so much. I remember it. I the first night I stayed there, I'm like, oh my God, this is the most quiet hotel I've ever stayed in my life. The windows must be amazing on this hotel. And then I'm literally very close to it. And I realize now nothing happens in downtown Vancouver that makes any real amount of noise. So I was hoodwinked. I was fooled. Maybe not. I mean, it was still quiet, but it's really not. It's not, you know, you spend so much time in other cities. Like I spend a lot of time in New York, and no matter how high up I am in a hotel in New York, I can still hear the shit on the street. But here in Vancouver, like I'm looking out at the city right now from the hotel. I'm on the 17th floor of this place, and pretty slow going. Not a complaint. Very peaceful, very nice, very quiet. So I've been up here for a few days. And once I got up here, got the work permit, got settled in this place, immediately went to a Whole Foods to ground myself in a reality that I understand. But I got that same vibe, man. Every time I come up here, I'm like, oh my God, what a load off. What a fucking load off. Whatever is going on down there in the States every day, just kind of plowing into my brain through the machine on my hand or the machine on my desk or for other people talking or just being on the road with other people in car. It's just not here, man. It is just not. And there's sort of a peacefulness to it that I fucking dig. Now, look, talk to me after a few months of this coming up here every, you know, going back and forth, you know, let's talk then. Let's see if whatever I'm appreciating right now about the silence and the pace and the quiet and the lack of the malignant psychic assault of culture deteriorating, of the world deteriorating every day. Look, I can still get it on my phone, but it doesn't seem as immediate, man, because it's not here. But talk to me in a few months about whether or not that peaceful feeling has made me fucking insane. Let me know. Good show today, by the way. Got a lot of good shows coming up. I've done a lot of interviews lately. You know, we got a lot already done, which makes it easier for me. But today, Steph Tolev is on the show. I don't know. I used to see her around the store all the time. I didn't really know her. I barely watched her for a while, but then all of a sudden I watched her. And I'm like, holy fuck. This woman's a force to be reckoned with. A filthy tank of a comic. She had a sketch comedy group in Canada called Lady Stash. She's on tour in Europe right now, and she'll be back in the U.S. next month. But she's just a tour de force of filth, and I love it. I love it. She's got a very specific type of swagger that you don't see or hear much. And she's shameless and she's very funny in a very specific way, but also sort of a timeless way. Yes, yes, that is Steph. She's something else. If she's on the show today, that was very exciting. I'm performing up here in Vancouver on Friday, June 21st at the Vogue Theater. Then I'm in Seattle on Saturday, June 22nd at the Moore Theater. In the fall, I'm coming to Tucson, Phoenix, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Boulder, Colorado, Joliet, Illinois, Skokie, Illinois, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Sacramento, and Napa, California. To get all my dates, including the ones from the summer that I had to reschedule, go to WTFpod.com/tour. So I got up here. I got to Vancouver last night, like day one. Owen Wilson texted me, and we had not met in person yet. So it was kind of weird. We talked on the phone a few times. We're going to be playing off each other a lot in this show. Obviously, I know Owen from the movies. And I'd never met him before. And the other night, we went out to dinner, hung out, took a walk, had some nice laughs, got to know each other, acted like a couple of middle-aged guys talking about stuff. And it was comfortable. There's one thing about doing this show, and I don't know that I always had it, though. He's just a guy. And I don't know if I would have been that way if it had been years ago. I told him, I said, look, man, you know, these guys in this show, you know, they're us, dude. I mean, on some level, they're us. He's like, yeah. So it's, I think we're going to be all right. And then the first day, what do? I had to go do a wardrobe fitting. And it's so weird, man. When I go to do this work, you know, I put a lot of thought into it. You know, I make some decisions about, you know, the character, and I think about certain ways that, you know, I may want him to look or what I'm willing to do, the risks I'm willing to take in terms of, you know, changing my appearance or whatever. And I thought, like, maybe this guy's got kind of a short hair. He's a little bro-y. Maybe he's got a goatee or whatever. And then I thought, like, well, maybe he starts with the full beard and then he goes to anyway. I'd grown out all my hair and all my facial hair just so we had something to work with. And of course, I get to the wardrobe and then I get to hair and makeup and they're sort of like, yeah, we're just going to trim what you have. I'm like, yeah, but you know, I'm not going to argue. I'm like, fine, whatever you guys want. And then they're like, well, maybe we'll make it a goatee later in the season. I'm fine. And a lot of the clothes, I was looking at the clothes and, you know, I told them what I liked. And then there's a lot of the clothes that I already wear. And I'm like, oh, I get it. So you wanted me to be this character. You want this character to be kind of like me. Not that I'm going to do it any other way, really, but it is kind of interesting. What I'm not going to do is put on a bald wig like Austin Butler did for Dune. Now, I didn't even see Dune, but I saw the posters for Dune, and I was sort of like, wow, that's a lot. How do you transcend that? But I hear he was good. But maybe I'll wear a bald wig. They were going to put a bald wig on me for Jerry Wexler, and then they opted against it, and they just used my hair and my facial hair. Someday, man, someday I'll play a monster, like a real one, not just a human monster. So after we did wardrobe, I went to props, and we were looking at glasses, and they had a lot of glasses that look like my glasses. I don't want to wear my glasses. Then I think we found a pair. Then I had to go drive an RV for a while because I'm going to be driving an RV. They wanted to see if I could handle it. I drove one in Marin. I whipped around a parking lot in this giant Winnebago a little bit. That was exciting. Then we had a read-through of the first script. That went well. But I'll tell you, man, I'll tell you the highlight of the day yesterday, really, is that a few of the cast members aren't here yet. And the guy who's playing the kid, this guy Peter, they were going to use an AC/DC song in the show, in the first episode. And then apparently they can't get the AC/DC song. So I said, well, I know other ones, right? So I started, you know, playing old AC/DC for the showrunner and everything. And for the kid, this kid, I don't know how old he is. He's got to be in his early 20s. Nice kid. He's playing the kid in the show, this guy Peter. And, you know, he's like, what other AC/DC songs are there? So I started playing some old Bon Scott AC/DC. And he's like, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah. He's like, this is great. And I'm like, yeah, it is. So I never heard it before. I'm like, what? He's like, I want to know some more like hard rock stuff. You know, I just want, you know, maybe my character's like listening to this stuff. I'm like the old stuff. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. Well, what do you, what, how do you, how hard do you want to go? You, how about Black Sabbath? I played him some Black Sabbath. He'd never heard that before either. And he's like, it was okay. I didn't think he loved it. But dude, I played him Led Zeppelin. I played him Led Zeppelin 1. And a couple of tunes off that. I'm just trying to remember which tunes I played him exactly. I think I played him Good Times, Bad Times from Zeppelin 1. And he was just like, what? And I'm like, you've never heard this? He's like, I've never heard it. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I played him from Zeppelin 2. I played What Is and What Should Never Be. He's like, they don't even... They change the rhythm and stuff. You know, there's no straight through. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, this is great. I'm like, you've never heard this? He's like, nope. And I was like, oh my God. And then I played him, I think it was Going to California. He was just like, I can't believe this. He said, and then he texted me later. He's like, babe, I'm going to leave you. One of the best songs I've ever heard. How many opportunities? Well, maybe I guess if you have kids, which I don't, but the excitement that I got from turning a guy on, I guess he's a kid. He's got to be in his early 20s, but from turning a kid on to Zeppelin, from watching somebody listen to Zeppelin for the first time, like this guy, Peter, he took my phone. He was just holding it to his head, you know, listening to Going to California, I think. And like, it was like, he couldn't unlock himself. And I'm like, this is the fucking magic. Look at this magic. And what a healthy thing to turn someone on to. Do you know what I mean? Not all turning on people to things is a great story, but just to be there to watch him listen to AC/DC songs for the first time and Led Zeppelin, and then just watch his mind get blown. You know, I don't know what I was freaking out about. Because I get up to these things, you know, and it's weird when I get around a bunch of new people, and I guess just who I am. Like I get kind of big. I'm cracking jokes, and you know, when I was younger, that didn't always serve me well. But I guess I'm doing okay now. But I guess what I'm trying to tell you people, after I dragged you through my anxiety, is that you know, once I got on the plane, once I got packed, and once I realized I'm going home in a few days, and I'm going to go home pretty often, I'll be all right. It'll be all right. I'm going to miss the comedy. I have to figure out a way to do that. I think this role is going to be fine. You know, I'll be good, I think. And I'd like to have a good time. I definitely got Owen laughing, and that's always fun. If I can get the guy I'm working with laughing, then we have a good time. Man, when I worked with Marlon Wayans, oh my God. On Aretha, on that Aretha movie, Respect, holy shit, we laughed our asses off. Maybe that'll happen. That sounds good, doesn't it? Just laughing your ass off. So look, Steph Tolev is here, and she's really unlike anybody that I've ever had on this show. There's another comedian I've been watching lately that is just killing me. Blair Sochi. She's so fucking funny. You know, I'm old. And I don't see as much of the young guns as I used to. And then all of a sudden I see somebody around, you know, who's been doing it for a while. And I'm like, where the fuck has this person been? How come I don't know this person? But Steph is definitely one of those people. And we talked about, like, because she used to see me around. And I think she assumed I didn't like her. But I just hadn't seen her. And she's so fucking good. So, look, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I could not get through the Tom Brady roast. Is that his name? For a couple of reasons. I don't know, man. I just remember roasts when I was a kid. I remember the roast I was on, which was a terrible time. But I didn't know what that guy does. I don't care about sports, so I didn't want to see football players trying to roast. And just to do comedy in arena, it's like, why is this a thing? Arenas don't make it better. You know, I don't think they make it better on TV or, you know, live. It just feels hollow and it's a little weird. But yeah, I couldn't get through it. I don't know why I'm telling you that. I did watch Nikki. Nikki was very good. But today is Steph Tolev Day. And she's a pip, man. She's something. Brassy. This is me talking to Steph Tolev.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
Oh, I miss just audio. This is nice.
Right? Isn't it nice? No pressure.
I know. I have to look at myself and I'm like sucking in the whole time. I put Spanx on. I didn't even need to do that. I'm sitting here in Spanx like an idiot. I'm fucking sweating. What the hell?
Do you want to go to the bathroom? Take them off?
No. No, I'm sitting here no underwear. It's disgusting. It's so gross.
But it would be, I think it would be appropriate for you.
It would. I'm disgusting. I don't want to be like this. I'm so gross.
You know, it's so funny. I was, because like we don't really know each other. And we see each other all the time. And it's always at the Comedy Store. And it's always like this next person. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And oddly, you know, when you were coming over here, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know her at all. What's going to happen?
No, I don't. This is definitely going to be the longest that we've ever spoken in our entire lives.
I had Attell over here last week, who I've known for 35 years, Attell. And he did the podcast, you know, maybe in 2010 or something. And he did it again. And those were the longest conversations I've ever had with him.
That's so funny.
And I've known him for 35 years.
You see him all the time.
And I consider him a friend.
Yeah.
But Attell's always on the move. You know, you see him, you're like, what's up, Dave? Oh, and then he's gone. You're not a lot of talking.
He might be, I think, the funniest comedian of our time right now.
Well, of our time now in the last 20 years.
In the last 20 years. I've never laughed harder at a stand-up in my life.
Because he's like, he's like a physicist with jokes. Like he's always like, you know, the boards you see behind guys who do numbers. I feel like that's what Dave does every day with jokes. He's just moving things around. He works on them like their math equations.
But like even in conversation, like it's hard to find a comedian that's that quick. And I'm like, he's
it's so
insane.
Funny. Was he one of your favorites?
No, to be honest, I didn't watch that much stand up growing up.
No,
I started watching it more when I started doing it.
Really? You know what I was listening to? Because, you know, I watch some of your stuff and I see you at the store all the time. And for some reason, you know, I was like, you know, I'm going to listen to some Belle Barth. You know who Belle Barth is? She was a comic in like the 50s and 60s. And she was this dirty Jewish lady. And she was just like way before anybody else. She was just filthy. She got arrested for being filthy. She got busted because two... school teachers accused her of ruining their brains.
That's so funny.
Isn't that wild?
I got to look this woman up. It sounds like something I'd love.
No, you got to watch it because she's one of those people that's still like of that era where they're still mixing Yiddish in with their filthy jokes.
Okay.
But are you Jewish or
I'm not. No, I really give off a Jew vibe.
I know. Now I don't know what to do.
See you later. Good night. My Spanx off now.
I was really counting on the Jew thing.
I know.
The Jew bonding.
I'm Bulgarian. I really look Jewish. I had the last name. I think it's kind of Jewish.
Steph Tolev. Yeah. Is that the whole last name or is there more?
No. My deado, my grandpa, when he came from Bulgaria to Canada, he gave the wrong last name.
Yeah.
He couldn't
speak
English.
He gave the wrong one?
Yeah. It's supposed to be Toleff.
Oh, okay.
And then he mumbled it. And they're like, Tolev? Like, yeah, that's it. So now we have like a made up last name. It's not even real. And
it's EFF.
Yeah.
So your grandfather, you know, like was Bulgarian, like spoke Bulgarian?
Full Bulgarian. Both my grandparents were arranged marriage from Bulgaria.
What, why?
Like, that happens.
It still happens.
I mean,
it's
happened recently, like the last like 30 years, 40 years, whatever.
Yeah, they still do it in some places.
I honestly, before I met my boyfriend, I almost wanted to do that.
Make it easier?
Oh, make it easier. Sell me off for some big jacked goats in Bulgaria. I think I'd be a good trade.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
I'd piss off the Bulgarian man that got me. He'd be like, really? I get this piece of shit? And I'm just like talking about my pussy the whole time. I'm like, my pussy's so big. He's like, get back on the farm, milk some goats. Just screaming.
Never in public again.
Yeah. Yeah, you never see me again.
But I think about that, like arranged marriages and when
when it happens. Like, I mean, because you do, like, you got to get used to everybody. You know what I mean? I'm not real optimistic about the love thing because I'm fucking 60.
Okay. Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but because I, you know, I don't have any kids or anything, like, I'm suspended at about 25. Yeah. And all these people that I've known for, like, 30 years, I'm like, what do you mean you're 40? I mean, weren't we all the same age 10 years ago? What the fuck happened?
You look good, though. Do you drink alcohol?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
No drinking, no nothing. You what?
I think it's the key.
Yeah?
I think drinking just makes you look like a bag of dead dicks. I think you're like shit after a while. I think I'm aging horribly because I drink.
Yeah? Oh, I?
Stop. Nah, yeah, I'm sipping. I love a sip. I'm trying not to. I'm trying to lose some weight because I have something coming up that I don't know if I can talk about yet, but I need to.
Can you talk about it vaguely?
I may or may not be doing a special, yes.
Oh.
Yes, I'm doing a special, yes.
That's great.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say who.
No,
whatever.
You don't have to.
Yeah.
You can certainly say it's a special.
It's a special. I'm very excited. It's my first one, and I'm jacked up.
How long have you been doing comedy?
21 years.
Holy fuck.
I know. No one knows that. Yes.
Time for a special.
It's time for a special. I've been doing it. Yeah, because in Canada, it's so much harder for us to come over here and then we have to restart again and it's a whole fucking building process. Yes.
Oh my God.
I came here. I've been in LA almost 9 years now. And when I came over here, no one gave a shit that I did Just for Laughs like 4 times. They're like,
No one gives a shit about that for anyone anymore.
No. But I thought because I didn't have a late night credit and because I'm dirty, I couldn't get a late night credit.
So did you do like, were you like a queen of the dirty week? The dirty, like, didn't I have a dirty show? I can't remember.
Oh, I just did that this year for the first time.
For the first time?
Yes, and I've been a filthy pig.
As filthy as you are?
Because I feel like...
They don't even let their filthy comics climb in Canada?
No, they don't. In Canada, I think you overheard me complaining about something about Canada the other day, and you were like, at the show, you're like, what's that all about? Because I did a speech at Just for Laughs last year.
Oh, I did that thing, the keynote?
Yeah, the keynote. I did a keynote, I was very... very vocal about how there's very few Canadians at a Canadian comedy festival. So I made quite a scene. I named some names.
So that's good. When I did my keynote, it was very serious. I got good laughs here and there, but I didn't go for the laugh. I had statements to make.
About
new media and about...
Everyone's just like falling asleep. Yeah. It was mostly the Canadian comics came to watch me and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't everybody? The whole industry wasn't there?
I think there's some, but I think it was more geared towards the Canadians and me kind of being like, you know, there's...
Yeah, here we are.
There's 300 performers here and there's, what, 45, 50 Canadians? Like, it's pretty bizarre.
But are there... Well, let's talk about that. So Bulgaria, they come to Canada. Where'd they come in? At Toronto?
They came out east. And then my grandfather came like to Halifax and then they came to Toronto. And there's actually a large Bulgarian population, I think, in Toronto.
But like Bulgaria, I have no sense of what that means. I live among the Armenians here.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a bit of that education. A lot of sweatsuits.
A lot of Adidas sweatsuits, a lot of velour.
Yeah.
They like being comfy.
Manicured beards, white cars.
Yeah.
A lot of white cars.
Very manicured, like the really thin mustaches, what is that?
When you see that on a man, do you think like, wow, that's hot? Or do you think like, what the fuck is that guy's doing? How much time does that take?
Yeah. Well, I'm also repulsed by, I never was attracted to like Bulgarian people. I'm like, I don't want to, I'm like a hairy.
What's the Bulgarian look?
It's me. Picture me with a little thicker of a mustache and that's a Bulgarian person. Yeah, I was never attracted to that because I didn't want to mate with that. I wanted like white.
Yeah.
White boys. Yeah, I want to get away from the
clean
hair.
Up the gene pool.
Yeah. There's too much hair.
Yeah. I got lucky. I'm relatively hairless.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's fine. You know, it's not.
Yeah, no, mine's the opposite. Very thick.
Okay.
Coarse hair. Yeah, it's disgusting. There's like hairs in the single boyfriend. Who's those? I'm like, you know they're mine. You know those are my thick beard and mustache hairs or my nipple hairs. I don't know which ones they are.
Got the nipple hairs too?
Oh, yeah. They're thick. They are. You got to really tweeze those.
Oh, my God.
Every woman has nipple hair. There's no way you're learning this now.
No. I know that. Okay. I know that. But I mean, I don't picture a lot of it. You know.
Oh, I mean, it's not a couple.
Yeah, yeah.
Did
your parents speak Bulgarian?
My dad did.
Yeah.
My mom's not Bulgarian. My mom's like born and raised. Her mom was like from England or something, and then so very white.
Yeah.
And then my dad spoke full Bulgarian.
Now, but what's Bulgarian food? How's that? You go to your grandparents, and what do they?
Yeah,
put
I had
food?
Like a lot of eggplant dips and like.
Oh, okay. So it's sort of like that version of like where the fuck is Bulgaria?
Honestly, you Google it. Years ago, I used to do a joke where I like look up Bulgaria, and the first thing that would come up is said it's the least visited country in all of Europe. Like it's just nobody wants to go there. Even Bulgarians like, hey, don't come in. Here. We're disgusting people. It's really very nice, but I think it's more of a poor kind of country.
I see it.
Yeah, it's in there. It's wedged in there by Greece.
In the Balkans.
Yeah.
Near Turkey.
I think the border is Greece on the Black Sea or something, right?
Yeah. It's Romania is on top.
Okay.
And then on the side is Serbia, North Macedonia.
There we go.
Thessaloniki? What is that? It doesn't border Greece.
I don't even know.
It does. Because Thessaloniki is part of Greece. So Greece is kind of like Florida. It kind of goes up and around. Okay. All right. So that's where you get the food's relatively the same all through that area, isn't it?
Yeah. Goat cheese, feta cheese, a lot of cheese, a lot of goats, a lot of cheese.
Yeah, yes. Oh, Serbia. Kosovo. That's. I know nothing about it.
No, I should. I feel like as somebody who's from here, I should have some
sense of Bulgaria.
Sense of something. I tried learning Bulgarian for like a day, and I was like, it's
for
too
a
much.
Day? How was that day?
It was a long day. It was a little flip book. I'm like, there's no pictures in this book. I don't get it.
When did you do that?
I was very young. My mama tried to make me, and I was like, I can't do this.
Oh shit.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
So, all right. So, what happens in Canada? So, you grow up not in a Bulgarian community. They moved to Toronto.
I grew up very. So this is bizarre. I used to. Highland dance my entire life, competitively Highland dance.
With the kicking
and the kilts and the bagpipes.
When did you start that?
Since I was 3 years old. So my mother dropped out of high school and became a Highland dancing teacher because she saw it at a birthday party when she was a kid. My grandma got her into it. So my mom was teaching at 19 years old, her own dancing studio. And then
for just
dad,
Highland dance?
Just Highland dancing. Very specific Highland dancing.
Was there any sort of experimental Highland dancing? Like any sort of new approaches?
No. It's so anal. You have to do exact steps.
Yeah.
So I did it from 3 to 18 years old. No one in our family is Scottish. I need to make this very clear. I look like my dad. I have my dad's body. I should not have been Highland dancing.
Well, you could pass for Scottish, I bet.
Well, not when you see me on stage with my 9.5 feet flopping around up there. I definitely should have been playing sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is competitive Highland dance?
So every weekend, my mom would teach dancing. So after school, me and my sister would go to classes like 3 nights a week. And then every weekend there's a competition, like somewhere in Toronto, or we drive to like the States, like Michigan or Pennsylvania. So every single weekend, my whole life, I remember just getting up at like 5 a.m. Saturday morning, helping with competitions. It's
but
crazy.
Is it a group of people?
Yeah, it's a lot of people. It's like, it's a pretty big, it's a very small in its own community, but people who are in it, everyone kind of knows each other.
I think Colin Farrell used to be a Highland dancer.
Really?
Yeah. I believe that he used to do. Wasn't there a popular show?
There was the River Dance, but that was Irish.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
What is the difference?
Irish is like all turned in, and Highland is all turned out, and you use your arms in Highland dancing. And Irish, your arms are just down by their side the whole time,
and it's just the legs going around.
A lot of legs, yeah, a lot of flipping around.
So the Highland dance is with the
legs and the arms,
and the arms
you're flipping,
and
dancing
out.
Over a sword. Yeah.
Dancing over a sword.
Yeah, there's a jig, there's a horn. There's a lot of Taylor's hornpipe. There's a lot of it's
cymbals.
Bizarre. Yeah, it's very strange.
Symbolic,
it's
traditional?
It's kind of very traditional, very Scottish traditional, like Highland games.
So you threw rocks around too?
I should have. Boulders? I should have thrown the
You should have went
caber.
For the Highland
I
games.
I would have been way better at the Highland games than
with
dancing.
With the log?
Oh, yeah. That's good. The caber toss, you throw it over. I always would watch that and be like, you know, my giant shoulders should be doing that rather than like busting out of my dance kilts. My mom would have spent extra money. The kilts are expensive too.
Yeah.
But I needed so much more material because I was so much larger than the other dancers. Should not have been dancing. I don't know what to tell you.
So your mom was forcing you to do this and you were the biggest kid on the line?
Quite big. Yeah, definitely big. Biggest nose, biggest feet, biggest back. And I did not win. I was good when I was very small.
Yeah.
And then I hit puberty and then everything went down the drain.
But how do you win? Like, are there solo competitions?
There's like different age groups. So you start like beginner, novice, premier.
But it's not always a group event.
It's always one person. So you dance individually. You all do the same dance.
Yeah.
Four dances, usually one competition.
Yeah.
You all do the same dance and then a judge or three judges will judge you and then like rank the scores.
What a fucking nightmare.
And you only get first to sixth. And then the first like top three win like the trophies at the end.
What a sword?
Sometimes you get a sword, yeah. A lot of times money. These friggin' dancers are making, I wanted to go back into it because you make good money.
I think that you should open your special with it.
Me just so out of breath going,
This is who I was.
The worst dancer on the planet. It was bizarre, but that was my whole life. Like I danced nonstop. I hated it.
Yeah, all the
so
way
bad.
Through? Yeah.
But I liked it until I stopped like winning and then I hated it.
But your mom just forced you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'd help at the competition, so I'd like help announce sometimes. I'd line up the other dancers.
So she brought you into this to knowing that you weren't the best dancer?
Oh, yeah.
She just needed you to help.
So it's a constant humiliation. Constant humiliation. And it's also embarrassing for her because my mom had like a really good dancer who won all the time.
And she wanted her to be your daughter?
For sure. Oh, I guarantee you she said she loved her before she loved me.
Yeah.
100%. But yeah, I was like, I'm not going to be her.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be her. You got to move on from this.
But what is the future that one sees in Highland Dance?
You become a teacher or a judge or an examiner. Yeah.
So you never leave the world.
You never leave the
world. Of the Highland Dance.
Oh, it's sick.
Is your mom still in it?
Oh, yeah. My mom's still teaching. She's probably teaching right now. She literally wanted me and my sister to take over her dancing studio.
What does your sister do?
She works Parks and Rec in Toronto.
Okay. So yeah. Nobody.
Nobody. No, we were like, get us the fuck out of here now.
It was just the two of you?
Yeah, and it's hell because the dance moms are crazy. Like, I'm sure you've seen, like, dance
all,
moms.
All show moms are crazy, they're no not matter well. What it is.
No, they're crazy.
So what, you mean?
And then there's bagpipers who were perverts.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because every dance, there's a bagpiper on stage, live music.
You got to open your special with this.
And the people immediately turn it off. The sound of bagpipes, nobody wants to hear that. It's hell, unless you're at a funeral.
Well, you always think he's dead. Yeah, it just means someone's dead.
Yeah, meat is coming out of a casket.
So wait, there was the bagpipers were known perverts?
Some of them, yeah. Yeah. There's one who, like, he, like, fucked a bunch of moms.
Oh.
And, like, oh, yeah, like a home wrecker.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
really?
Who you are if you're listening. Yeah. Say his full name. There's a couple,
I just like the horror of being a man who's like, you fucked a bagpiper?
Disgusting.
But it's just, like, you know, like.
Actually, I think he'd be good at fingering, though, because you're playing the chant. I played for a year. It didn't work.
I guess if your clit is 6-7 inches long.
It'd be nice. And some people might. I think all that dancing stretches it out. You're just bouncing up and down. I think it just takes a toll. There was, there was a lot of pervy dads, too. That's where I became, like, I think that's where I started yelling. Because I yell at men a lot on stage. I think I became at a very young age. We'd have to, like, change quickly outfits in front of, like, it just being public.
Yeah.
Like, where the Highland Games, you're beside, like, an arena. You're just taking your clothes off outside. Yeah. And I would watch, like, creepy, like, dads, like, look a little too long.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And by look a little too long, I mean stand there and gawk.
And these are women ages what to what?
Like, 7 to 14, 15.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's,
and that's where you developed your contempt.
I think I did.
An aggressive reaction.
Yes. First dick and balls I ever saw was at a Highland Games.
Was it under a kilt?
Oh, yeah. And he was standing in the bleachers. And my friend's like, look up. And I was so young. I think I was like 7. And he was like swinging it around. And he loved it. We looked up and I was like, oh, my God. And he started like shaking it. Like, he was probably your age.
Oh, yeah.
6-year-old. Oh, yeah. 6-year-old pig.
Just up there.
Getting off on some 8-year-olds laughing at his junk. Disgusting.
Was he a regular? Did he go?
Yeah, he was probably in one of the pipe bands, just getting ready to get his horn sucked later. Disgusting.
So at least you developed a point of view.
Yeah. From underneath the dick and balls. Yeah, that was my point of view. I think that's why I'm so physical on stage too, is because
of the dance?
Dancing. Yeah.
But I also think because of the type of comedy you do, like, you know, you got to kind of like get in there.
And you got to, I think it powders it a bit. If I'm not like yelling about my pussy so much, but if I do a huge act out with it, it's like, oh, it's kind of cute.
Right. If you just stand still and casually deliver your pussy jokes.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to be like, what? But if you're like literally like, then people have to reckon with you.
I think they do.
It's just like break the boundaries. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is funny when I have to go up after you or Neil Brennan because it's such a different vibe and watching the crowd like readjust at the store, especially. I love it.
There's sometimes like, you know, something happened last night on stage and I've been doing this for fucking all my life, for 40 fucking years or whatever, 38.
Shit.
But there's still this part of me, like if someone's killing before me, there's still a part of me that just wants to, I'm going to ruin it. I'm going to go up there. I'm not even going to try to kill. I'm going to undermine this entire evening. I have this part of me where it's sort of like he just killed, so I could just go up there and just do my best, or I could be like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I did that. And I drove out of the Comedy Store and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong? Embarrassed, mad at myself.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I tanked on purpose.
But I think you get in your head too much, especially in that room. It's hard. Cause I hate following fucking Bobby because Bobby crushes in a way that's stupid. And then I'm like, God, I have to go up there and either match that energy.
You can't do it. It's hard
crazier.
To do that. Yeah, like I can never do that. I chose, at some point I realized like, well, you might have to eat it for a minute or two.
Yeah.
Just to get him to come around.
To
your vibe.
Yeah. But I think also, but you're at a point where everyone already knows and loves you.
Kind of.
Yeah, so I'd say go up and people are like, they're excited to see you.
About a third of the audience. I wouldn't say it's everybody.
Okay. It's more than a third. I've gone up after you because I still have the thing where people don't know who I am. So they're like, Steph told, and then people are kind of looking around and I go up and I'm like, my tits or my ass are hairy. And they're like, what is happening? And they're like, I hate this woman. Like, I watch people go from hating me to like kind of warming up by the end. It's kind of fun though.
Yeah. But like, but I cross that line. What happens to me is like my, the distance between my stage persona and my sadness is very very small, right? So like, there's a fine line where I'm talking about my dad's dementia to where like last night what happened is the audience, they just heard it as like, well, this is a sad story, and I'm like, no, it's not. It's hilarious.
You're not getting it.
Yeah, you're not seeing the right point of view.
Isn't it humbling though to leave? There's so many times I left the comedy store being like, well, I'm not shit.
I'm
not fucking shit.
Oh, you mean
it resets you?
I'm just garbage.
I get smug sometimes, and I'd be like, I'm killing.
This is a great week.
Oh yeah.
Or when you do a set, well, I don't know if you do that, but if you do a set in two rooms, and you have the first one's great, and then you just go get humbled. By the next one, just fucking terrible.
Sometimes the main room does that to me. I'm like killing in the OR. I'm like ripping, just like riffing. I'm like, oh, I'm the fucking bad. At the main room, I'm like, oh, I'm a dog. I'm a dog shit. I'm dog ass. I literally have done no jokes.
The main room is can be kind of weird because it's, I don't know what it is, but like, you know, it's different expectations in there. I'm not sure what it is.
But
sometimes like you get out there and it's packed and you got to, you know, start over at the beginning of every joke and earn it every fucking time.
What is that?
I don't really understand it.
It's bizarre because it makes me like the main room less, even though I know it's like where everyone wants to be in, but I'm like,
is it?
I don't know. I love the OR.
The OR is great.
That's my favorite room.
Because the main room, sometimes you can actually be like, all right, well, I've got those 100 people over there.
Yeah.
And then you look to the left or the right, and you're like, nothing's happening. Like, no one's laughing.
No reactions.
Yeah.
It's maybe it's too bright in there. I don't know what it is.
They don't come together.
The first time, my first set, I remember when I met you, I was told, I asked about people at the store, because I was like, I was very new to the store. And I was like,
when did you get past? Like 2020, recently, right?
Yeah, like a year and a half ago almost.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was on the first show with you, and I remember you were the first person I saw. And I was like so excited, and you're standing, you're looking at the list. I'm like, hi. And you're like, hello. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I was like,
no.
I'm like, I'm on the show with you. And you're like, mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
And I was like, it's my first night. And you're like, and then you kind of walked away, and I was like, oh, okay, so Marc Maron's not going to like me. And I was like, fuck, god damn it. But then after, like, and then I think I met you a couple more times. I was like, okay, no, that was just, you were just, like, probably about to go on stage.
Exactly,
I was like, distracting you.
He was thinking about me.
Yeah. But now you're so nice. I was so worried. There's been nobody I've really had issues with at the store, and I thought I would.
It's funny. I've been going there on and off all my life, and I have issues with people.
I'm assuming I will. As of right now,
I don't know.
Too.
We're all fucking nuts. You know what I mean?
Everyone's insane. I'm sure people hate me. They just keep it to themselves.
Really?
I don't know. Probably.
It gets so catty. You know, like I said something on an Instagram Live that became a TikTok that didn't mention names, and everybody decided it was one person.
Oh, God.
And now I had to deal with that guy, and he threw me under the bus on a podcast. And I'm like, I had to call this guy on the verge of tears and be like, I wasn't talking about you.
Oh, God.
And now there's no going back.
Oh, that's
so catty.
It's so catty. We're all so sensitive, too. No one realizes we're up there talking about whatever the fuck, and then
we're the worst.
I'm so sensitive.
Yeah.
I cry all the time.
Yeah, it's the worst. Because, like, of course we're sensitive, and we're socially inept.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've chosen this life where it's all on us, and, you know, we don't need anybody else.
Yeah.
And we're just a bunch of babies, angry, catty babies, jealous, resentful, competitive.
So jealous. I know. What is that?
Fuck.
I mean, it does help us, I think, get further by having all that.
Spite?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
my
me
whole
too.
Career's driven by spite.
Mine too.
Every
mine too.
Every piece of it has been driven by spite.
From my first manager, you know, the calls began with me going like, how the fuck did that guy get that? What am I doing?
Everything.
Yeah, and then that went on for 25 years.
It's still going on. I still see something. I'm like, really? They got that? And then I'm like, I have to calm down and like, be thankful for what I have. But I'm oh, yeah. My spite started because in Toronto, two of the main bookers hated me. And I was like, oh, really? I'm shit?
Yeah.
I'll show you! And now I'm like, when I go past the store, I was such a catty bitch. I almost named them in my big, like, thank you post.
Oh, yeah.
My manager's like, take the names out. Everyone knows who you're talking about. Take the fucking names out.
You know, oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, it's good that you have, like, now I have a producer that does it. I do these interviews and I send them to him, and then he's like, I'm not putting that in there. He's like, he's my conscience. He's my, like, you know, like, don't leave yourself vulnerable to that. But my entire career, I was talking about this with somebody yesterday, that you don't realize, you know, sometimes for years why you didn't get anything, and it's sometimes just because one fucking person doesn't like you.
Oh, yeah.
and you're fucked.
Yep.
Depending where they are, whether it's a club owner or an executive. Uh-huh. And then you find that out years after the fact and you still hate them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I still hate both the bookers in Toronto, and I want them to fucking know that how much I fucking hate them.
But you don't need them anymore.
Oh, God, no. I would never do those fucking clubs. They can suck my ass. Are you kidding me? It's crazy. It is insane how it just one person. I'm like, and it could have been anything. It could have been like a party. You said something weird.
Nothing.
Or whatever the fuck it is.
Exactly.
Or somebody, they heard you think they said something. You didn't say something about them. Right. Like, whatever. It's.
And those are the gatekeepers.
Yeah.
But now there's like, there's not that many gatekeepers. You kind of do your own thing.
Yeah, there's two. Right? Yeah, and I think at this point now, we can do our own specials. We can do our own shit. Yeah, it's all social media. It doesn't matter.
It's kind of nice to see those little Napoleons just kind of die.
Oh, you know,
they can't. They have no thrust anymore.
Oh, it's nice.
Like they're the...
Oh, I get off when I see people that told me no, they get fired from their job. I have like little parties, little celebrations. I go out and party with my friends. I have a bunch of, half my text threads cannot be leaked because I would never get work again in the city. Oh, really? Someone's like trying to hack into my phone right now.
Yeah.
No, we're naming names in those group threads.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, you got to, right?
Yeah.
But that's been a liability.
I like to say I name them to their face. I like to think that I'm very, you know, if someone pisses me off, I'm going to say something to them.
Yeah.
And name them. I don't give a fuck. What the hell do I care?
Well, you know, I feel the same way, but you know, who can you really trust?
You can't trust anybody,
right?
No
so,
one's to be trusted.
So you're gonna blast away,
yeah,
and you think you know you're talking to like a kindred spirit or whatever, and then they just go tell it casually to somebody,
and then it goes right up
the chain.
Yeah.
I was banned from Comedy Central for years for a fucking joke, and I didn't even know about the extent of it until recently.
Oh my!
It's fucking nuts.
What was the joke?
Well,
do you remember it?
Oh, I remember the whole thing. And the only reason I know what happened was because this guy who was at Comedy Central for years, when it mattered, you know, when Comedy Central was like important.
Yeah.
This guy Kent Alterman used to run it over there, and his boss was this guy back in the day named Doug Herzog. So here's what happens, and it's like I'm no good at roasting because for some reason when I take a shot, it goes in and it stays there, right? So all right, so here's what happens: Comedy Central back in the mid '90s had been taken over entirely by Viacom. Viacom is MTV. It used to be half HBO, half Viacom, and there was you know. So Doug Herzog and Eileen Katz were at MTV. They built MTV into what it was. And now they're at Comedy Central. They take over. And like that first week, you know, I was doing a show at a comedy club. And for some reason, it was like mostly Comedy Central people were there in the audience. Like a whole audience of just employees of all kinds. A party of some kind because of the shift in whatever. So I get on stage and I say, well, I'm really excited that Eileen and Doug came over from MTV to Comedy Central because I think all television should look like a round-the-clock pie-eating contest. That was the joke.
That's not even bad.
No, it's a good joke.
It's a good joke. It's actually light.
Yeah. And apparently, like a week later at the first corporate retreat, Doug Herzog was like, no Marc Maron on our network.
Oh, my God.
For that joke?
That joke.
It just really cut him.
Wow.
And to this day, when I've seen him, and he's an old fucking man now, and of course he has a podcast of some kind, and you know, he's polite, you know, but when I see him, like, I can tell that, like, that's there.
There's still something. That's fucked.
That's there.
That's wild.
It's crazy. That's how it happens. You know what I mean? It's like Lenny Bruce. Apparently, you know, it wasn't so much about what he was saying. It was because he pissed off a judge, and all the judges were out to get him.
That's wild.
Yeah. Is that why?
I got to keep my mouth shut. Maybe. You're teaching me. My problem is I sometimes, those Comedy Central parties, I would get a little too, have a couple too many wobbly pops.
Get
nervous.
Yeah.
And then I would.
And then you just start doing it?
Well, like, apparently I got a little handsy with one of the executives who doesn't work there anymore. I thought he was a gay man.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, I'm being funny and cute.
Yeah.
And then when my manager was like, I think you should leave. And I was like, excuse me? And then I was like, I stole a pillow. I thought it was hilarious. And then I still have it on my couch right now. And then I got home the next morning and I had projectiles everywhere. And I had somehow, I was wearing
vomited everywhere?
Oh, yeah. And I was wearing a dress that was like a really tight neck and long.
Yeah.
And I had leaves all in my bra. And I was like, how did that happen? How? What the fuck was I doing to get leaves from like the dress was long. How the fuck did I get a bunch of, and where are the leaves in Los Angeles?
Yeah,
dry leaves.
And you woke up in the dress?
Woke up in the dress and the leaves and barf everywhere. And the photos come out. And I was handsy. I had to call him and be like, I'm really sorry. I didn't want to say I thought you were a gay man, but I'm like, I'm really sorry. Every photo is me like rubbing his shoulders or like his lower back. I was being a pervert.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting me too.
A predator. Yeah.
Oh, big predator. But I was like, in my head, I'm like, he's gay and he loves it.
Yeah.
No. It was, we're buddies now. It's fine.
Everything's
like,
okay.
Yeah. But I was like,
Did it happen though between you and?
No, nothing happened. Oh, I went home hammered. Oh, no, no, nothing happened. God, no. God, no. My manager put me in a fucking Uber. And that's not the first time. This other time we did the, what was it, Clusterfest Festival. And
I bombed.
So, it was in San Francisco. It's not happening anymore. It was like a Comedy Central festival.
Clusterfest?
Oh, yeah. I bombed so bad.
Really?
I got off stage and I went to a dive bar and I drank, six drinks alone. Oh, yeah. My manager had to come get me. It was like, I was so embarrassed. She's like, go to the fucking CVS.
Yeah.
Put on your fucking makeup. And act like a fucking person and get back to that fucking thing right now. And I was like, oh, and she's not like that at all. And I was like, oh, okay. So I like put everything back on. And then apparently the executives liked my set. The crowd hated it. I bombed my dick off.
Yeah.
But the executives are loving it. And I was like, okay. So I get way too carried away when I think I bomb and then I like drink to cope. And then I made a huge mistake here.
And then you talk. Like, well, here's my problem is if I say shit about other people, my brain tries to justify it as like, I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not trying to talk shit. I mean, but I'm being honest.
It's also, is it talking shit if you're on a public platform like this?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
No. I'm just talking about these little things that happen, you know, when you just, because like if I go through certain phases where, you know, I think like, you know, I'm above this shit. You know, I don't need, you know, like, and I tried to train myself. It's like, it's got nothing to do with you. You didn't get this. You didn't get that. That guy's bigger. This woman's doing whatever. It's got nothing to do with you. Just mind your own lane.
Yeah.
But then like, you know, if a little insecurity happens, I'm like, nah, that fucker, you know, that fucker.
Always. Yeah. And then you're scrolling on fucking Instagram. I see one thing. It pisses you off. It's too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah,
it's all hell.
We're going to be all right.
We're going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you break free of the dance? How do you break free of the Highland dance?
I wanted to be an actress. That was the big thing. A comedic actress. My goal was SNL. And that's...
When did that happen? What? How old were you?
I think I was in high school. I was grade 9.
So you were doing that kind of stuff?
I was doing plays in high school, yeah.
You would be a great comedic actress.
Yeah, I was doing all the comedic plays and shit. Well, I mean, Bill Burr's new movie. I mean, I fart and I burp in it. It's my big role.
In the dad's movie?
Yeah.
saw that. Yeah, I remember.
I fart, I burp, and classic me.
Yeah, Bill's like, I know how to use her.
No, literally, Bill's like, I wrote you into this role. I was like, no kidding. It's seems very easy for me to play this.
Yeah.
I literally showed up. That was actually hilarious. The wardrobe lady called me, and she's like, Bill said that whatever you're wearing right now is probably what you're going to be wearing on set. And I took a photo and she's like, yep, bring that exact outfit. It was like jeans, cut off shorts and like a loose fucking Harley Davidson tee.
Yeah.
Stupid. But yeah, I wanted to act. And then I auditioned for like 4 acting schools in Toronto.
At a high school?
Right at high school. Yeah. And I didn't get any of them.
Really?
Big nose. And then there was one program called the Comedy Writing and Performance Program, two-year college program.
Yeah.
Pretty much a clown college.
Yeah.
And
literally a clown college?
I mean, it's like comedy writing performance. That was it. It was like, we had a voice class, an improv class. So I got into that.
Were there actual clown classes?
There was a clown class, which is my favorite class.
I'm fascinated with that shit.
Oh, it was the best fucking class I've ever taken.
Yeah.
It was wild.
What
happened? This is the craziest thing. And I going into all this clown shit, I never believed any of this, like, trust your instincts type thing.
Sure.
Whatever. So it was Mike Kennard was his name. I had hots for him too. I was probably creepy. I was like, volunteering, Mike. He's like, okay, Steph, there's other people in the class. Please get off me. But we did this thing where he like would draw. We all stood at the back of the room and we closed our eyes. He's like, I'm going to draw an invisible line in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
So he put like 2 shoes on either side. He's like, there's a line in the floor. Don't open your eyes. He's like, trust your instincts. Walk forward and back. And then when you feel like you're on the line, stop. Everybody who like gave into the exercise all ended up on the line.
Huh.
And it was so bizarre. It wasn't like straight line. It was on a diagonal.
Okay.
So we all opened our eyes and we were like, what the fuck? And he's like, we were like, oh, we're on the line.
Yeah.
So it was just like such a weird way of like learning to really trust your gut and how
so
you
basic
feel
with no, like there was no real requirements.
No.
Other than just sense it.
Literally sense it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was really, we learned a lot in that class.
So that's interesting. But somehow or another that puts the wiring in that you can trust your instinct.
Yeah.
What other stuff you do in clown class though?
I don't know. I was too busy looking at his ass.
Yeah. but was it quiet? Could you talk?
Yeah, you talk. We do a lot of exercise where we just kind of walk around and just try physical stuff. And we try stuff where we just pick like a sound or like, we'd make different characters of things we'd want to do. And then we'd eventually put the noses on and stuff. But there was like,
we
sketch writing classes with the nose on. The noses, I mean, barely fit on mine, but the nose was on there just dangling off. The noses were on. But it was like a 2-year. At the time, I was like not caring about the course.
But it's so fascinating to me because even at 60, when I think like I'm not good enough, you know, I should take a clown class.
If you took a clown class, I would pay to watch. I swear to God, you walking around the clown nose, people would flood that glass. It would be so funny watching you just like walk, because you get like, you get into super like, he'll be, pick like an emotion kind of thing, and then you'd go off one emotion.
Yeah,
you'd just be crying.
every emotion would be crying, but physicality would be different.
Yeah, it'd be crazy. Oh, he's crying. Yeah, never mind. No, there's still tears. There's still tears. His arms overhead. He's still crying. Don't worry. He's still sad.
Are you conscious of physicality in terms
no.
of? So you
Which
just
is
do it.
Weird. Yeah, I have like a, ever since I started doing stand up, the second I walk on stage, I kind of, my mind kind of opens and I just kind of, I don't, because I'm not planning. I'll rewatch my sets. I'm like, what the fuck was I doing?
Yeah.
Psychotic shit.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm not planning like put my arm here or walk over there. Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Because like I started to get like jealous of like guys who are just naturally physically funny and timing wise.
Yeah.
Like not talking. I mean, I move around, but you know, dudes who do like funny things with their body, I'm like, I got to try that. And like in the last special, I spent months timing out physical beats for a bit. And I was like, that's how you do it.
I figured it all out. No, I feel like it's really bizarre. And sometimes, honestly, there's like times where I wish I wasn't so physical because my back is fucked.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I have to stretch like crazy for on stage.
Because I've explored some of what you do. I've done the edge of the lip of the stage crouch.
Yeah, lip of the stage.
You're in them.
Yeah. Pussy's right in their mouth. I do a lot of like foot on the stool. A lot of deep squats.
You do the foot on the monitor if there's a monitor?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I prefer Lean the stool. In. I have to really be back there and really let the puss out. But it's really... Yeah, at the end of a set, and like I've been doing hours on the road, and I'm sweating.
Yeah,
and I'm huge pit stains in the jumpsuit.
Oh, that's great.
I'm just like, it's disgusting. And the meet and greet, I stink. I'm just like standing there,
putting
reeking.
Your stinky arms around people.
Gross.
And you do the meet and greet.
Oh, I do the meet and greet.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm at that level, and I'll do the meet and greet.
I used to sweat, but it, somehow that went away. If I'm sweating, it means like, you know, my body's like telling me that you're not doing well. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's like flop sweat. Totally. Oh, yeah.
Like last night, it was like a 15 minute set that I probably did 22. I'm starting to realize like, when am I going to be scolded for that?
Do you go over?
A little bit. Not a lot.
Okay.
But I never regulate that light to the 3 minute line.
Okay. There's one person that always goes over.
Argus?
No, I'm sure he does. I know he does. But there's somebody else who goes over a lot.
Oh, yeah? Like a lot?
Every time I follow him, he goes over.
Like what, 25?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I did that. I think I top out at maybe 22.
I didn't know you went over. Yeah, I don't think I've never noticed.
That's because I'm so entertaining.
That's what
and nobody notices but
it's
the person following me.
Applause after applause applause.
No one notices but Neil Brennan.
Neil always does. Neil is so professional.
Very tight.
So tight. Always has new jokes.
That's what he does. He's a joke craftsman.
He is a joke craftsman.
And he stands right up there, straight.
See, I get jealous of people like that. I'm like, that's talent. I'm up there just literally, I'm a clown.
Me too. I'm spewing.
I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, well, I'm a spewer too. Like these guys that sit at home and like write jokes. I'm like, well, I don't even know how to do that.
I can't do that.
I mean, I've been doing this like almost 40 years. I'm like, you know, what do you mean write a joke? If they don't happen on stage and magically build themselves, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, but that's so nice we can do that at the store and have that like,
I have to do it everywhere. I'll go do a month at Dynasty Typewriter just to talk and then start to see if anything happens.
But
funny.
But you have few fans like, that want to come watch
they'll,
you do that.
They'll put up with it.
Yeah.
But,
that's nice.
But here's what I realized that I'm fighting with now just at the point in my career is like, I've done like so many specials. And when I look back at them in terms of subject matter, I realize like, I'm just saying the same shit in different ways over and over again.
But isn't that what everyone's doing?
That's what someone says to me. That's like somebody made an example of a musical act where, you know, all of a sudden one day you realize that you're just doing
the same
version of the same song.
But it's like people like that and that's who you are. Well, you're like,
no, I want to ruin it. I want to push them away.
Here, I'll help you do some psychophysical shit. You come on just being your next special. You're just on an insane physical comedy.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Bending over,
that'd
doing
be good.
Full flips, a lot of arms.
So when did the... So you do the right comedy writing college, but did you learn anything in the 2 year program?
No, I met friends. I met really good friends. I'm still solid friends with, and I met my sketch partner Allison. We were in an improv troupe for.
Do
years.
I know her?
No, she's in Canada.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did. I was an improv troupe with four girls called the Dumb Cunts for 5 years. So I did improv and sketch.
The Dumb
first.
Cunts lasted 5 years.
Yeah. And then we turned into a group called Lady Stash, and then it just ended up being two of us. So I've been doing sketch comedy just as a duo with her for 15 years.
So what was, because I now maybe you can tell me if this is true or not. I don't know. I've got this theory recently because I'm watching, you know, a lot of new people are coming around. And if they're not at the store, I generally don't see them that much.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of new people around. And I'm noticing that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I talked about this with Jacqueline Novak, that there was a period there where young women comics would kind of do some version. If they wanted to be dirty, they would do some version of Sarah, really, yeah, like Silverman. Yeah, cute and dirty.
Yeah.
But it seems like over the last few years that there is some aggressive filth.
Yes.
Coming out of the ladies these days.
Yes.
And I'm excited about it, but I started to realize it's like, because guys can't really pull it off anymore without getting some sort of flack.
Yeah.
But when women are just balls to the wall filthy, people are like, holy fuck. I mean, they may not like it, but yeah. There's a freedom to it.
There's a freedom to it. I think women are finally, I don't know, being themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to be dirty.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking, I'm not going to be talking about pussy. I'm already thinking about gross shit. I'm a fucking pervert. I've been a pervert for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm a horn dog. All I think about is sex. I tried to fuck my boyfriend this morning before I left the house. I'm like, get up. I had to do Maren's podcast. Let me suck your dick. Like, I'm disgusting. So I'm like, I'm trying
Did
to
he
like.
Let you?
No, he was still sleeping. I was like, what is this, assault? I'm getting Me Too by my boyfriend in my own bed. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But I think women are finally realizing that we're allowed to fucking talk like we actually talk. Like,
yeah.
I hate when people are like, every female, another woman talking about sex. Yeah, we all fucking talk about sex. I hate that fucking
but
why do they?
But just being judged on that standard, dudes have been talking about sex forever. And then for a long time, I was like, oh, what is she going to talk about her period? And now you talk about sex and you're still getting
it's
shit.
It's the same thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what a fucking woman says online. It's going to be
that
same fucking thing.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking annoying. But I'm like, yeah, women, we are very sexual beings.
Yeah.
Maybe more sexual than men. So
yeah.
Of course we're going to fucking talk about this shit.
Yeah.
It's what we're thinking about. It's what we're all doing. It's like, it's bizarre when people get so mad at it. I get so pissed.
Well, I think that there's just a type of man and a type of woman, you know, trained by that type of man who don't accept women talking like that.
Or behaving like that. So I have this new joke where I ask people if they fart in front of their husbands.
Yeah.
It's such a fucking rare thing that people do. And every show, there's at least one woman. This just happened in fucking Rochester last weekend. And I was like, do you fart for your husband? She goes, he gets fucking pissed. And then she got like kind of upset. He's like, no, I don't. And she's like, I can't do it. Every time I do, he gets so fucking mad at me. And then like, I could tell like they got very tense, both of them. And I was like, oh, fuck.
What did you do?
I'm like, what'd you do? And there's a couple in Florida where the husband was like, I don't let her. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
like,
fuck.
This is crazy. This is such a stupid like thing, but it's like such a weird thing that men don't let women fart. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So I can see if that woman's going to talk about like sex stuff, they'll be like, my word.
Yeah.
This isn't my lady. Like, my boyfriend is very, he came from
Is he comic?
No. Oh. He's an actor, a comedic actor. He's very funny. But he came from a family of nine, born again Christians.
No farting.
His mom this weekend was like, I never once farted in front of my husband. And I was like, excuse me?
Oh, you had that conversation?
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, I fart all the time. She's like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah. And then Jefferson, my boyfriend, full name, Jefferson, he's like, yeah, I don't love it. I'm like, you don't love it? This morning? He's like, are you farting again? I'm like, I will fart in your mouth if I want to. Let me fucking fart. I'm like, I'm just not used to this. Like, my whole family farted my whole life. I'm not used to this, like, weird. It's bizarre. Do your girlfriends fart in front of you?
They have.
Okay.
You know, I don't have any problem with it, but it seems like sometimes the women I've been with, you know, one of them farted a lot. And one of them didn't draw attention to it. There's a difference between farting and going like, hey.
Yeah. I am doing that.
Yeah.
But mostly because I fart so much that I have to make it seem like it's funny.
Well, that's the problem. It's like, you know, I fart too. And
everyone farts, but it's just, I don't know why.
But if you're a gassy person, you can't be in a relationship like that. I remember somebody did a joke. Who the fuck was it? There was some guy who did a joke where he would have to go outside.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a human thing.
A lot of these women do. They go in the bathroom, they put the sink on, they fart in like a hand towel. Like, it's insane what people are doing to avoid this.
Yeah.
And because men just getting, I don't know.
So it's a global problem.
I think it's a global problem. And maybe you just have to be raised in a Bulgarian family where nobody gives a shit. My dad was always like, I always got one on reserve. And he would fart. Literally, if we call my dad right now, I swear to God he'd fart. Like, it's almost too much. Maybe we are medically, something's wrong with us now that I'm thinking about it.
I go through farty periods. And I have to figure out why. Right now, I'm in a non-farty period. I'm very happy about it.
No farts at all.
No, I fart, but there are times where, like, I think it was because I was doing these nicotine lozenges, and now I'm just doing the pouches. But the lozenges, there's something about what they're made with that just made me gassy as fuck.
Okay.
And there's just nothing, like, you know, I don't mind farting, but, like, if it's going to be bad.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to make that fart.
But then you kind of both got to sit in it, and something has to be said, and you have to break the ice.
He got so mad at me last night because I kept farting, and then he's like, "That's it. You have 1 minute to get them all out." I'm like, "1 minute? You can't time constraint my ass. I can't just do this in a minute. This is crazy." And he started pushing my stomach. I'm like, "This is not how they work." It's awful. We've been traveling with, like, airport food. That's the problem. The traveling, the airplane. I can't fart. Turbulence gives me gas.
Yeah,
I think I made that up. But I don't.
You don't fart on the plane. That's my favorite part, to see how quickly it'll be sucked into the HVAC. Like, you know, and who are they going to blame? Like, I always think, like, they're not going to.
They're
know.
Not going to blame you.
Yeah.
I think I look like a farter. You do. So people know it's me. There's no way I can. Everyone's just like, it's her, 14D. I can see her fucking mustache from here.
And that's a guy in first class saying that.
Yeah,
14D, all the way back up to the plane.
Oh, yeah. I actually got on a fucking plane the other day, and I saw Jeselnik on it, and he smug walks up into first class he owns a fucking plane.
A
piece of shit. Yeah. I was jealous. Does
that when he walks anywhere.
I know. He's so mad.
It's just him, you know. I remember when he told me, he's like, I'm never flying coach again.
Well, and here's what I always get mad every time I see somebody, like, more famous than me on a plane. I'm like, if this goes down,
they're gonna get the headline. You're gonna get nothing.
Sucks every time. I always go, by Stelling us once on it. Ron Funch is on a plane. I'm like, I'm fucked.
I think you and Ron would share the bill.
Okay. In news today, comics.
Two young comics
that no one really knew. No, people know Ron. Maybe Ron.
I always feel that way when you're flying back from festivals, especially big festivals.
It's like
part of me is like, this plane's not going down. There's just too many of us on here.
Isn't
there's a lot
scary?
Of famous people. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, not so famous people.
Are you first class? You seem like you're first class.
I do now. Yeah. That is something, you know, I don't spend money. I hold on to money like a comic who's still making, you know, wondering if he can pay rent. It's just a mindset.
I don't really
spend money that much. But there are things I know I can do without freaking out. One is eat anywhere.
Yes.
And the other is fly first class usually. But sometimes it's like so expensive and that part of my brain sort of like, what the fuck am I getting?
It's $1,200? I'll do business.
Yeah.
I'm not doing $1,200. I'm up there. This guy beside me. The people that are in first class these days.
Yeah.
Slobs. I'm sitting beside a guy who had one tooth. The other one's hanging off.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he had like prison tattoos.
Oh, yeah?
He kept coughing, not covering his mouth. Yeah, he had a weird smell.
This was in first?
Oh, yeah. Right there in first.
Or business?
Big dirty boots in first.
Business?
No, first. I get bumped up sometimes.
Well,
bumps.
Yeah, I remember the bumps. You know, do I have the points? Can I get the upgrade? Waiting at the gate.
Yeah, like an idiot, like a sad loser.
Yeah, and then you can't get your bag on because you fucking rolled the dice, and then you got to check it.
I hate that. I'm still selling merch. Do you know how embarrassing it is to lug my merch around?
I can't. Like, I've tried so many things with the merch before. Especially if you're going to sell t-shirts, because then you got to have all the sizes.
Oh, yeah.
So then, like, what the fuck are you going to do? And how much are you going to really make? Because you don't want to,
you don't
make that. And then there was the idea of shipping them ahead. Like, I'm not big enough. I'm not on a bus.
I don't have
a fucking road manager. You know what I mean? And it's just like meeting the fucking boxes at the hotel.
It's embarrassing.
It is a little embarrassing.
It is embarrassing. Lugging those stuff in.
You know, I'll give you a merch tip. Posters.
Okay.
Like if you're going to go somewhere and you have fans, and I imagine some of them are creative, just put word out on whatever, on the podcast or whatever, and just be like, if anyone wants to design a poster who lives in Michigan or whatever, send me the artwork, I'll pay you for the artwork. And then you just, either they'll run them off or you run them off. People just want to leave with something.
That's nice.
You know, you paint a $1, $1.50 a poster, you sell them for 20, you sign them in the meet and greet.
Oh, I love this.
And it costs nothing. And it's just a stack of paper.
Yeah, I need this.
Right?
I'm lugging hats. I'm lugging beanies.
Beanies.
Sweaters, hoodies.
Come on. Hoodies?
I got hoodies. This is crazy.
What, and you bring it all with you on the plane?
Yes. No. Yeah, I do a checked bag.
But how many?
I bring my camera. So I have my giant fucking camera on my backpack, and then I have my merch all
checked. What's the camera for?
To film clips.
For the TikTok?
Yes. Even though I'm shadow banned on TikTok right now because TikTok hates my big fat pussy. I'm not allowed to say anything on there. It's crazy.
Are you successful on that thing?
I was, and now I've been shadow banned for like 3 months now, so nothing.
You don't have a hookup.
I got no hookup at TikTok.
Oh.
I got nothing.
Are you doing your own TikToks?
Oh yeah, do it
really?
All. I do everything. Yeah.
So you're of that generation.
I guess so.
Like, see, that's another thing about the age I'm at. I'm like, I can't, you know, I like, there's some part of me that's always sort of desperate in thinking that, like, you know, oh, I need to be bigger. But it's over.
No,
it's fucking, it's over. I've hit my ceiling. It's okay. I mean, you know, I'm in a good place.
Yeah, you're but when in a good place.
Yeah, but when TikTok happens, I'm like, do I got to get on there? And then I decide, you know, I got to get on there. And then Jeselnik's like, I got a guy. I'm like, what's he? Okay, let me have that guy.
Well, you're not even filming this. So this would be a TikTok. This would be a clip from this.
Yeah, that could, that's not a bad idea. Not to do, since I don't do a video podcast, to have actually bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
But what am I gunning for?
I don't need TikTok. Also, TikTok is not good for sales, for ticket sales. So there's literally, I don't know what you'd want TikTok for.
It's not?
No. I'd say every weekend I maybe have 5% of my sales from TikTok. It's all Instagram. All Instagram.
I seem to have crapped out on Instagram. Like, I was doing these, like, lengthy IG lives all through COVID, and I was getting, like, 20, 30,000 hits.
Oh, shit.
And I kind of, like, stopped doing them. But, like, I did a live, like, last week, and I hadn't done one in, like, a month, and it got, like, 2,000. I'm like, I'm out. I'm out.
You know, you're posting reels, aren't you? No reels?
Well, I mean, they all become reels now, don't they?
Okay.
I think.
Do they? No, not your lives.
No? Well, oh, yeah, so I got to do little reels?
Yeah, do reels.
How long are the reels?
Minute 30. You want a sweet spot between 30 and 45 seconds.
You do stand-up?
Yeah, I do crowd work clips, and I do sketch, so I post that shit.
And you think that sells tickets?
Yeah, I've been posting these stupid gym videos with my boyfriend. It's so stupid. I just like, I'm like, want me to spot you? And then I literally just put my pussy in his eyes, and people are like, it's so, two of our videos went viral in the last 2 weeks. It's
I'm glad
so
you know
stupid.
Your fans.
Oh, I know my fans. Moron. My fans are all right now sweating, eating a foot-long sub with no pants on. I know my fans, because I'd be doing that if I was at home right now. I am my fans.
Yeah.
But the problem is I'm like crazy. I'm so anal with my social media.
Yeah.
This morning I woke up and I wrote down my this week's posting schedule. So I have like, I set my alarm.
It's like a job.
Oh yeah, I set my alarm every morning for my time to post.
When's the best time to post?
9 a.m. Pacific, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
That's it?
That's what I think. That's for my, especially for mine.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Especially, yeah, because 9 a.m. good for you here because it's noon in the East Coast.
Yeah, so that's
like
all right.
Lunchtime there, good time for people waking up, looking at their phones.
And you just shoot reels.
Yeah, do reels. Yeah. So I.
But so what does that mean? So when you put the Instagram on, it gives you a choice of live, the one.
You're really acting your age right now. Yeah. So you open Instagram, the app, and then you click on the, what the fuck is this?
Reel.
Yeah, reel. You click on the reel.
And then you do
but
a
you're
thing.
Not filming, you're not filming your sets at the store. I never see you film.
No, I don't.
A lot of you guys don't. See, in the OR especially, there's a little place to put your phone up. I film every set I do in there.
Just and to
I,
have it, just see
just
what
have
happens.
It, and I usually have, like, because I do crowd stuff, so I usually have at least one or two crowd interactions from every show.
And you put them up.
Yeah, edit that, put it in the caption thing, get the cap. You need the captions on there, then you put it back on Instagram.
Where do you put the captions on?
There's a special caption app.
Oh, a separate thing?
It's all separate. But the captions in the Instagram isn't very good. It doesn't get the timing properly, and I just the way aesthetically it doesn't look good.
But the.
You're already getting flustered, and you still don't even know what a fucking reel is.
I'm telling you, this morning I'm like, I'm out, and now I'm talking to you. I'm like, I'm back in it.
I'm back in, baby. I literally was up this morning editing a video of me and the Blue Man Group. Like that's what I was doing. I literally did a sketch with the Blue Man Group. It's insane.
In real life?
Oh yeah, no.
You were out in Vegas?
Yeah, no. Yeah, last time I was there. Yeah.
And you just asked them?
But actually, one of my best friends is a Blue Man.
Oh really?
Yeah, he actually went to the same college as me. He got kicked out of that college.
The 2 year thing?
Yeah.
He got kicked out of college for what? What did the blue man get kicked out for?
He was on Accutane and he got like fucking crazy.
What is Accutane?
Like it's like a
the acne medicine. I haven't heard of that. Yeah.
You know, he was just like sleeping weird hours up too late.
Yeah.
And then he just kept sleeping through class and not going. And they're like, you're out of here. And then he went and auditioned for the Blue Man Group that same year he got kicked out.
And he's been there.
He's been there for 21 years. Yep.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy.
He's like a Blue Man veteran.
He is, yeah. He's been everywhere, Boston, Chicago.
Is there any downside to the makeup and the hair?
Yeah, it's horrible for your skin.
Yeah.
So no, you have hair.
Okay.
They all wear ball caps.
Oh, it's ball caps.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. But they paint their dick and balls blue. Oh, just a big character. you actually believe that for a second, you imagine? Like
really? Maybe I haven't seen the show in a while.
Really, that seems like a bizarre thing they do, but they
might have added a thing. Maybe that's their blue show.
It's out. Yeah. It's their blue show.
They do the family show and then the late night one.
The Blue Man Blue Balls. Yeah.
But so after the sketches, like, were you successful with, what was it, Five Cunts?
No, not really. Improv is pale. Dumb Cunts. And then Ladies Stash. And then me and Allison, we did a lot of festivals and stuff, but like, Nothing. And then at the same time, I was doing stand-up. So then I started getting more into stand-up.
And from the beginning, what was the angle? Was it always you? Or did you write jokes in the beginning?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, I wrote jokes in the beginning. And then once Alice and I started doing sketch, we were kind of like a Farley and Spade thing. Like, she was like a straight man. I was like the
crazy?
The crazy. Yeah. It worked very well. But she's also a very funny straight man, so it worked very well. And then I realized I really want to move to L.A. And then I was on hold for a pilot out here when I was 29.
How'd you get cast? You got the manager in Canada?
No, they were doing this thing where they were going around. NBC was trying to cast a new sketch show. I don't know why. They already had one that was doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And then I was the only person in Canada to get picked. And then I got flown out to L.A. for a week long. Like, we wrote a whole new sketch show. And then everyone from NBC came and watched it. And I was like, I'm moving to L.A. And then I moved here. And then everybody on that project got fired. And then I was like, I've made a huge mistake. All my friends moved to New York, all my comic friends. So I was out here. I had like maybe two or three friends out here. I knew nobody.
It's hard to start comedy here again.
Yeah.
In New York, you kind of just, you know, fold in.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, I don't know, by the time you got here, what year?
What was 9 years ago?
So you don't really fit into the alt thing.
But I was doing alt.
Oh, good.
Made no sense. I couldn't get into the clubs.
Yeah.
I couldn't get any of the fucking clubs. I couldn't get, I'd go to this Sunday open mic at the improv. I never got fucking picked once. Oh, I sat there for like fucking 3 months straight. I wanted to kill myself. I had no car, so I had to borrow my friend's car or I'd be biking around.
Oh, my
cycling
God.
From East Hollywood to fucking the store. Forgot my ID. They wouldn't let me in. Go back home. It was a nightmare. It was hell. Working 3 jobs. I was under the table because my green card didn't come through. I've mentioned this before on podcasts, but they test you for syphilis, and my syphilis test came back irregular or something. I didn't have syphilis. So that's really an actual test they test you for a green card. So my green card got pushed back like 4 more months. So I was out here working under the table. I was babysitting. I was working like catering jobs. It was hell.
Wow. And you're doing alt rooms? You're scaring the nerds?
Scaring the nerds. I was doing like, I did Hot Tub. I got on a lot. Good Heroine was my favorite show. I was doing that all the time. Yeah. And yeah, people were like, what is happening right now?
Yeah.
Like, this is bizarre. I would do well because it was so different from everybody else.
Sure.
It was like psycho.
Yeah. You were a character.
Yeah. They thought, they literally were like, this is a character that I'm off stage. And I'm still like, sucking a dick. And I'm like, okay, she's serious. She's sick.
Yeah.
She's very sick.
With sort of kind of, the alt crowds to me always, and I did a lot of them, but I never saw myself as one of them because I don't really think I'm a nerd. Really, but and I'm kind of like a, you know, I am what I am, but like they always seem more together.
Yeah.
Than, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it was just posturing because they can't all be mentally healthy, but
no.
It was always very white and very, you know, dressed similarly.
And they always
seem to be fairly well adjusted, able to collaborate.
Yeah, but I feel like I like the club crowds way more.
Of course.
Because they're just,
they're just fucking people.
They're people and they want to laugh and they've had probably a bad day and they can admit they had a fucking bad day.
And the store's been great because now that there's no, like, you know, massive orbit around one or two comics, everyone kind of gets even, it's kind of egalitarian.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's just good comics for good audiences and the place has its own reputation.
Yes. And it's not as, like, when I first moved out here, I would never do the store because I hated it. I hated the door guys who worked there. They were treating me like shit. They were so rude to me for no reason.
Which ones?
They're
still
there?
There?
No,
oh, really?
There.
They're all gone?
Yeah, they all left. That no whole
kidding.
Crew went
really?
To follow somebody in Austin.
Yeah.
There's not all of them, but there's some that were really, really negative and mean. And I remember, like, I'd go to sit in the back, like, you fucking sit here. I'm like, I'm a comedian. Like, get the fuck out. And I was like, you could have just sat. And I'd like leave crying because I was like, this is where I want to work. I don't want to work here.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was bizarre. I hated it. I hated the store. And then Emily, actually, I did a special on
The Booker.
I did a special during COVID.
Yeah.
On this Epics, no one's seen it. Don't see it.
I did a special on Epics.
It was so bad. I was a blob. It was right for COVID, so I was like a fat pig.
Yeah.
And all the camera angles were underneath. So, like, I was a melting ham. I would have killed on my head. It was so bad, just my eyes showing.
You did an hour special for Epics.
Half hour.
Oh, so I did an hour, and like, you know, you tell people, like, it's on Epics. I'd be like, what is it?
No one has any idea.
I don't know if anyone watched it on Epics.
No one watched it.
But they gave it back to me. Like, the part of the deal was I get the hour back, so you can kind of go see it.
You should cut some reels.
That's good. I'm trying to remember which one that was.
You got a lot of reels to cut from that.
So, but God damn it sounds like, you know, being in L.A. was kind of horrible. You weren't living in your car, but you didn't have a car?
No, I was living on my friend's couch, actually, for a few months. I couldn't get my own apartment because there was no cross-border credit check, so I couldn't, nobody would let me sign a lease, though I had money, but they wouldn't let me.
Can you do that with a green card, though?
Yes.
But you couldn't get the green card.
And I couldn't get a social insurance number.
Oh, my God.
Social insurance,
Were you working in Canada? Were you an act?
I was a touring headliner in Canada.
For like Yuck Yucks?
No. Oh, no. Oh, no.
There's one of the guys.
Yeah, yeah. Baby doesn't work for Yuck Yucks or Absolute Comedy. Yeah. Both of those clubs, I will never step foot in for the remainder of my life. Well, yeah. I couldn't. I'm probably banned. I'm under shit. I've talked about them.
Yeah.
No, so I was an independent alternative comedian. I don't know if you know Deb DiGiovanni, very funny comedian.
Yeah, I just met her last night,
I think. Amazing. She's hilarious.
I met her before, but I had to bring her on last night, and she's standing there. I thought I was bringing up
Neil. She probably did her showcase last night.
Oh, my God.
I hope she killed, yeah, because she's fucking, she was my idol when I was growing up.
Oh, I would have set the table better had I known.
Oh, damn it. No, it was probably better you just did like a
I kind of, like, that was that set I told you about. I kind of tank crapped it out at the end.
Oh, fuck.
And then, like, you know, I thought it was Neil, and then she's standing there, and she goes, "You probably don't know me." I'm like, "I don't."
Oh, fuck.
And she goes, "I'm Deb DiGiovanni," and I'm like, "This next person is really one of my favorite comedians." Okay. And, you know.
Oh, God. No, she's amazing. She's hilarious, but, she was independent. She told me to go independent, and I did. And so I was touring there, came out here, and then I was a piece of shit for, 4 or 5 years, drinking excessively.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of gross stuff.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I was drinking a lot, having a lot of sex with a lot of gross people. I was like, oh, Tinder in L.A. yeah, it was bad.
Anybody can just, I've never been on an app.
They're
just fuck apps, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think at first, some people do meet off them.
Yeah.
I had never had a relationship off them, but I was mostly fuck apps, especially Tinder. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Fun?
Some nights I'd wake up, I'm like, did I just do cocaine with a $5 Canadian bill with two strangers from Australia, and they both blocked me on Instagram the next morning? Yeah, I did. So that wasn't a good memory. Not all the memories are great.
Sure. Where's that show? We're just go through all of the fucking Tinder memories.
Oh, I have a list of all the guys I fucked. It's horrendous.
And what happened during it and how it went?
No. I just had like a little, like a
running list
form. Yeah.
Yeah. How are your numbers?
Pretty high. Here's the thing. They're high. Not a lot of great ones on there. A lot of slobs on there. No. But now I'm in a very loving relationship.
Really?
He
That's
moved
nice.
In.
Wow.
He's actually, do you know the actor Christopher McDonald? Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's his nephew.
Oh, okay.
I fangirled over Shooter at the Laugh Factory, actually.
Yeah.
His nephew's sitting there, and he DM'd me, and then it's
and that's it.
Yeah, he moved in. He's, yeah.
How long you been?
We've been dating for 5 months. We've moved very quickly.
That is quick.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm marrying this man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Does he know?
He better. He's locked to the bed right now. Chains are pretty loose. I hope he can't get out of them. He knows. No, I'm obsessed with him.
Oh, that's healthy.
Yeah.
That's going to go great.
No, in a good way. In a good way. Yeah. It's the best relationship I've ever had, and he's very like.
Oh, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You. But so when you finally get into this.
But anyways, move on. Who cares about how happy you are? Let's get to the dirt.
I don't buy it. It's just a phase.
If it is a phase, I'll take it.
Yeah, No, it's good. I'm happy for you. Now can we move on?
Yeah. I was waiting for you to ask me some dirt. I don't know if I have dirt.
You have some dirt?
I don't know, maybe.
What do you mean?
I don't know. But I feel like this podcast, everyone, you know, people come on, they get very like emotional. Do they?
Sometimes. Sometimes. You know, there are moments. I wasn't really anticipating it from you.
You
feel like, do you want to cry?
No. I mean, I'm not with my therapist anymore. I had to fire her. She kept putting her lipstick on during the sessions.
That was it?
It rubbed me the wrong way.
But
like,
was
over
she...
Zoom.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A lot. I loved her.
Yeah.
But then every time, red lips. And I was like, what is this for?
How did that work? Did you work through shit?
Yeah, well, I'd be like, are you listening anymore? Like, she was really putting it on for a long time. And I'd be like... Anyways, my mother doesn't love me, and then she's just like putting, just like slathering red, like it was crazy.
Your mother doesn't love you?
No, I don't think so. She started to say it in the last like 4 years, 5 years.
I don't know if they were capable of the correct kind of love, my parents. I think they thought they were loving, but I think it was just panic and concern. And
are you the only child?
Expectations. No, I got a little brother
who's
a little more, he's done so much work on himself. And, you know, and he's kind of leveled off in a pretty healthy way. Whereas I was sort of like, I'm not doing any of that, really.
Uh-huh.
I'm just gonna, you know, hammer it out. I mean, I've done work on myself, but this kid from a very early age was sort of like, you know, I want to understand. I want to be loving. He worked it out.
Okay.
But for me, like, you know, I'm still hammering out my problems in front of unsuspecting audiences.
Aren't we all?
I guess. But So your mom started saying it recently?
Yeah, more recently, yeah. She's been like, yeah.
Did you confront her about it?
Yeah, she's very hard to talk about things like this about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't like it. Doesn't like discussing feelings. Doesn't like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
My parents are you know, very old now, but I've told this on stage, and I think it's hilarious, but again, doesn't land always. My mother literally said to me, I was down there cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the family, and I'm just doing food prep. And she's out of nowhere with this tone goes, you know, Mark, I don't think I knew how to love you when you were a baby.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And in mine, I'm like, that's it. That's the missing piece. I'm done.
I finally figured it out.
Yeah, yeah,
my God, all these years.
That's crazy. Yeah, well.
I think my mom was very jealous of me. All her friends used to say that she could be a comedian. It's one of those. Mm. And I was like, you're not very funny. So I don't think that's going to work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, she's just very wrapped up in her Highland dancing world.
Yeah.
That's all that matters to her.
Right.
So me and my sister always kind of came second to that.
To that.
Oh, yeah. She's like,
it's not even like medicine or anything important.
Because she has her dancers that are doing very well. She has these young dancers that she loves, and she's always like posting photos.
Yeah, yeah,
my sister's had a very cute baby, and now she's posting about the baby.
Oh, that's good.
But before it was all dance stuff.
Well, it would have been a problem if she didn't post a baby.
Yeah. We would have been like, she's got no soul. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Is she funny?
I don't find her funny.
Yeah.
My sister doesn't really find her funny. Yeah. I think her friends do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What about your dad? Funny?
Yeah, in like a dad way.
Are they together?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Shockingly.
What's he
doing? It's a surprise. He's retired now, but he used to work for like Toronto Hydro.
Hydro.
Like the power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so when you got passed over there, did everything turn around or change?
It changed with Burr. So Bill Burr, conveniently with my stupid bullshit fucking Instagram reels I did, he saw one of my sketches and loved it, and we shared it. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then he DM'd me asking me to open for him. And I'm like, am I on fucking, what planet am I on?
Yeah.
And I think this is right after I got passed.
Right.
So I got passed in December, and then this was the March. And then I was like, holy shit. And then Bill asked me to do a special on Netflix. Bill Burr's Friends with Bill.
I saw that,
So that was what changed my whole career. And literally, single-handedly, like overnight almost.
Really? And it stuck? You got the audience?
I got the audience, and now all the clubs that wouldn't book me before are now like...
Because you can sell it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Where'd you play in Rochester? At
Comedy the Carlson. It was good. Yeah. Some places, I mean, I'm not selling it. Oklahoma City won't be back there anytime soon. that was a humbling weekend, I'll tell you that. Went from selling out Tacoma, being like, hey, I'm the fucking funniest comic, to Tacoma, to Oklahoma, being like, six people on the early show? I'm going to kill myself. Like, very bad weekend. And I was like, hopped up on NyQuil. I'm like, I don't know if I'm high or I'm just fucking pissed, but I'm like, this sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, I was bombing so bad on the Saturday Late Show that I literally stopped, and I just like put my hand on my nose, and I was like, I don't think I've done this bad in like 5 years. And this one woman in the back, sad, went, well, I like it. And I'm like, oh, God. It was, like, so depressing. I almost wish she didn't. I almost wish she said, no one likes this. And I would have been like, I'm done. Also, doing an hour bombing.
Yeah.
Also, doing an hour act-outs bombing.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
The worst. And you feel it. You know, sometimes you leave your body or you and I've had it happen a lot. It's a sad moment when the audience all of a sudden becomes supportive as opposed to.
Yeah.
It's okay. You just keep going.
It was just one of those weekends where, and this is, okay, if you're fucking listening, and I don't know why I had to keep drilling this into people's fucking heads.
Yeah.
Google the fucking headliner.
Yeah,
if you're going going on? Like, I go from shows where people are there to see me to Oklahoma to my Pat Burch or my opener being like, all right, come up. You're all here to see your Steph Tolop. And I see a guy in the crowd go, who? And I'm like, oh my fucking God. I'm like, I'm going to bomb because you're not going to like me. The people who like me really like me.
Yeah, yeah.
They get it. They're gross. They're sick pigs.
Sure.
If you don't like dirty comedy or women, you're at the wrong fucking show.
Right.
Because I'm gonna ream you out. I'm going to do crowd work with you, probably make fun of you if you're in the front row. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I had it happen in Portland like a few months ago. A bachelorette party was there. I'm like,
bachelorette party. That's funny. See, that would be a clip. That would be a real
thing. Well, I said to them, I said, look, you know, you still have time to do something else with your evening.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not the guy for this. I don't, you know, I've got people here that know me and want to see me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be able to service you.
No,
What you want, you know, because I remember I was sitting in the back of the room and I see the girl who's clearly in charge of bachelorette party and she's looking at me like, and I'm like, no.
No.
And they left.
Good.
Yeah.
See, that's, you know what? I'm starting a new thing now where there's this couple in Milwaukee and they hated me so badly. Like the whole first 10 minutes, the guy's rolling his eyes and the woman's just like, and I stop. I go, okay, you know what? I go, I'm going to stop you here, guys. I go, it's 10 minutes in. I go, you clearly don't like me.
Yeah.
Yes, it's awkward. Now I have to, you're right in the light. I'm like, you can go. I'm like, was this free tickets? And they went, yeah. I go, if you go right now, I go, I'll pay. I'll pay your tab. I don't give a fuck. I'm like, please, this is like, you're ruining my night.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. And they stayed there. And I'm like, who's your favorite comic? And they're like, Carrot Top. I'm like, you're at the wrong show. You are at the wrong fucking show. They hated me the whole time.
You couldn't get rid of them?
So I couldn't get rid of them. They wouldn't leave. They were so mad. And they ruined my whole set.
It's the Midwest. They had nothing else to do. They really had nothing else to do. Last night, this is the other key to what happened to me last night. Some guy from New Zealand, some old guy. I'm doing jokes. I'm kind of riffing around a little bit, looking for stuff. And he's like, you know, when are you going to tell some jokes?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, and it was a half a house in the OR. And I'm like, look, I just did three like top quality jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's not. I'm not for you. Like, I didn't want to get into, I was not in the zone to fuck. And then it was just fucking.
I hate, that's the worst one. I had that guy in Rochester do that. He maybe say something funny. And I was like, well. And then I ripped him in half. And I was like, well, guess what?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Fucked up. That is funny.
Well, yeah, but that's what I said. It's like everyone like around you is laughing. Why does it have to be about you? And like, they left.
Good.
I don't know if the doorman did. I don't like when the doorman do it because there's part of me still is like, I'm handling it.
Yeah.
I'll handle it. Don't step in. I'm not a baby.
But then sometimes they don't step in when they need you to step in. I got to a chair at me like a while ago. Yeah, I don't know if you heard the story in the OR.
No.
Oh, yeah. This fucking guy would knock it off his phone and I just got out of a horrendous breakup. I probably shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
It was like I was in a really bad place. Yeah. And I got there and I was already like, I cried all day and I got on stage and I was like pissed. And this fucking guy's in the front in like a big puffy jacket on his phone and I go, hey, man. I go, really? I'm that boring already. Keeps on his phone. I go, really, man? I'm fucking talking to you. And he like looks up and he goes, my mom. And I go, then take it out in the hall. If it's your mother, I'm like, she clearly sucks. Take it out in the hall, whatever. Kind of move on, whatever.
Yeah.
2 minutes later, he's back on his phone. And I snap. I go, that's fucking it. I get the fuck out. He gets so mad at me. He stands up, grabs the chair from the bottom. And I'm like, and I saw him doing this. I'm like, are you going to throw the chair at me right now? And the crowd goes dead silent. He picks up, I guess he doesn't realize how heavy those fucking OR chairs are, those old banquet hall chairs.
Yeah.
So he goes to throw it, but I see him struggling. So he can barely get it up. So he has to still get it over the front desk. So he gets it up. It like does one small, and I don't even move.
Over
I
the
just
front
stand there.
Counter?
Yeah, over the front counter. I just stand there and I watch it. I go, if you're going to throw a fucking chair, don't be a pussy. Throw a fucking chair at me. And then the crowd like loses it. And then like a guy in the front row had to grab the guy. And then finally security came. I'm like, what is going on right now?
How long is it
going to
take?
The one time I wasn't filming my set. Oh, I was so, and then I murdered for 15 minutes because the crowd was like, this woman's insane.
Yeah.
But I was like, I would have gone so viral. A man throwing a fucking chair at me. Are you insane?
Yeah. What a missed opportunity.
Now I film them all in case anybody else wants to throw a chair at me.
Yeah. Oh, now you're inviting
me. Hey, if anyone's throwing a chair at me, come
so
on.
What are you still doing the podcast?
Yes.
Every week?
Yes. Steph Infection, please, for God's sakes. I'm trying so hard at this podcast and it's not.
What's the angle?
It's all about body stuff.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of weird ailments that I've been dealing with my whole life. Ever since I got the vaccine, I'm covered in hives every day, like head to toe.
So you think it was the vaccine?
Oh, yeah, it was for sure.
Yeah.
Right after the vaccine, like bad. Yeah. And a lot of people who also got the Moderna vaccine, I've been like little chat groups online and stuff. A lot of my friends.
Hives?
Specifically Moderna. Yeah. If you had a pre-existing skin issue, like it's so bad that my throat will close up and I'll have to go to the hospital. Like,
so it's an allergic reaction?
Yeah. It's like a crazy reaction. But I had an ovarian cyst when I was a kid. When I lost my virginity,
But does that make you an anti-vaxxer or are you just like attached
no,
it to
I'm just
allergies?
Like, yeah. I'm not anti-vaxxer. No, yeah. I got it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, when they want to get more, I'm like, I'm done getting them now.
Because you're allergic to
it. I've done the two. I got the boost.
Yeah, we're done.
But yeah, it's all about weird. Like, it's for comics. I want you to come on. If you have any body stuff, like, it's for comics to talk about, like, ailments, breaks, something they don't normally talk about on stage.
I have fairly significant body dysmorphia.
Do you?
And a mild eating disorder from being raised by an anorexic, but I talk about it.
Okay, well then come talk about this. This is perfect. This is perfect body stuff.
It's important for men to speak out.
It is.
About manorexia.
I think it is. My boyfriend has dysmorphia. He's always grabbing. I'm fat.
He's a pincher?
Oh, he's pinching and it pisses
me off. I'm a pincher.
You're a pincher?
A little bit. My brother's more of a pincher. I am a pincher.
So you're looking in the mirror, you're pinching. Are you out loud saying?
Fuck. No, I mean, I'm a front pincher for some reason.
Yeah, but you're looking at it and saying I'm fat. Are you doing that whole thing?
I'm saying like I've gotten better and I say like I'm a little bigger than I want to be. Mm-hmm.
I'm over here in Spanx. I am sweating my dick off, and you have not an ounce of fat on you. I'm sorry. I don't want to.
Wait, is this how the podcast is going to go?
This is how it is.
You'd be vulnerable about your ailments, and you go like, what the fuck do you have to complain
about? No, but I'm like, that's why I think I have a mild form of it, because I wear Spanx like every day. I'm so self-conscious of my stomach being like fat that I like always wear on stage. You'll never see me with Spanx on.
I lost my fucking mind when I did the first season of my show, Marin, on IFC, and we had this wardrobe person, and she put Spanx in my trailer, and I'm like, what are these? It's like, well, some guys like to wear Spanx. I'm like, what are you saying?
Then you got so upset.
Do I need to wear Spanx? She's like, no, just giving you the option. I'm like, but what does it mean? Oh my God.
I mean, I would have been pleased as punch if those Spanx were in there for my trailer. It does. It just makes you feel, I don't know.
All in.
Tucked in, sucked. Especially if I'm doing like a long hour. So the jumpsuit, sometimes they fold in a weird way. I need the...
Well, I used to be a pretty severe hypochondriac. And okay. I have a very funny story that I've told before, but I would tell it on your show.
Then come tell it.
All right.
I used to be so crazy. I used to eat French fries as a kid, and I'd eat it down to the nub. And because I touched the nub, I couldn't eat that part, so I'd put a pile.
Of nubs? Of French fry nubs?
Nubs? Yeah.
What, OCD kind
of? OCD, yeah. Because I was like so crazy. And I was so paranoid about STDs for so long.
Yeah.
That I didn't have sex until I was 19. And I was like so paranoid. I was like, we're both getting tested. Now I'm like, God,
for
nubs.
What?
See you later.
Yeah.
I was... do condoms exist? I haven't seen one in years. No, I had a crazy AIDS phobia.
Oh, yeah.
The
I had
kids
that.
Ruined
I had
my
that.
Life.
I had the AIDS phobia.
The AIDS phobia was bad.
Yeah. And I was older than you.
Oh, yeah. So you were going through it.
Well, I mean, I wasn't, you know, doing that kind of sex necessarily.
No,
but there was, it became sort of this thing where it's like, you can get it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
Like, I was always sure I had AIDS.
Oh, no. I've been tested for AIDS more than anything else in my life. I went last week, just for no reason. I go all the time. I go all the free clinics. Yeah. They know me there. They love me. AHF, shout out to AHF at Hollywood Western. I go in there and I'm like, hey, HIV, dippy dip. It makes me feel better.
Yeah, it's believe crazy. Me. It's I have that too. During COVID, I was like, you know, always every I wait online. It was a day. I go park my car and wait by the where at the stadium and get the swab. You know, once a week maybe once every couple of weeks.
My God, we're crazy. Yeah, come on, come to the pod. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very laid back.
Yeah. You have a guest. Is it guest-driven all the time?
Yeah, always guest. Just me and a guest. Yeah.
Do you have professionals? Do you have other than comics?
Yes. I have a lot of porn stars, and they're my favorite because they are very open about shit, and their stories are fucking crazy.
Have you had Sovereign on?
No.
Oh, I should hook you up with her.
Yes, please.
She's a friend of mine, and she used to be adult, but now she does a couple of podcasts, history. And she does comedy. Yeah,
okay.
You should definitely... Yeah, you should definitely have her on.
I'm trying to get. I've had nurses on, and I had a hospice nurse who was amazing, who talked all about how she like made me feel a lot better about dying and like how nice.
You're okay with it now?
No, I still wake up in the middle of the night and I panic and I cry. But
I'm at the age where I'm like, is it going to happen while I'm sleeping?
I'm bad. If I think of it before I go to sleep, I'm up all fucking night.
If you really can get in the zone of it, like you know that you're going to die,
it's bad.
It's a bad anxiety. I mean, you can do it intellectually, like, I'm afraid I'm going to die or whatever. But if you really lock in and do the acting, do the deep work.
Oh, yeah. I'm method. And then my boyfriend wakes up at night and he's like, okay. And I'm like, tears just stream in my face. I'm like, I'm going to die. He's like, oh, not this again.
Yeah.
It's bad. I started when I was really young. I had that.
Yeah, me too.
Like, my earliest memories are me bawling my eyes at like 5 years old. My parents coming in trying to console me. It's very hard to console a child. Being like, I'm going to die. It's like, well, yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah.
Sorry. Nothing I can say now. But it won't be for a very long time. I'm like, but I don't want to die. It's like, no one wants to die. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I used to freak out when my parents would go away because I was sure they'd die in a plane crash. And I'd make myself sick.
Oh, fuck.
You know, because they'd hire like a babysitter for a week and I'd just be like, they're floating in the ocean.
Oh my God.
The plane is in the ocean. And like, I couldn't go to school because I'd make myself sick with anxiety.
Oh God.
And I'd ruin their vacation by calling. Don't call in the emergencies. Hi, it's me.
Your mom's trying to get fucking her ass sucked by your dad. And you're like, I'm scared. Are you guys alive?
That's what she said on the phone.
I'm surprised you aren't a dirtier comic. I mean.
I was. I've definitely done all the dirty.
Okay, you've done all the dirty.
I've done all the dirty.
Maybe I'll be clean when I get older.
I've tried to do that. Now again, because I'm kind of champing at the bit about like, kind of like, you know, what am I going to do now? And there's part of me that because I'm old and like my audience is different, where it's sort of like, oh, you don't know me.
You don't know me. You don't know what I can do.
Filthy.
Yeah, I, believe me, I have had a wife say, like, could you not do the thumb in the ass joke? Because, you know, it's me.
it's me, and everyone now knows that it's my ass and
your
thumb.
Exactly, so, I've had to deal with that stuff a lot.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It feels great. I thought there was more of an ending, but okay.
No.
That was fun.
Thumb in the ass is a big ending.
Good. Big ending. Big, solid thumbs up.
Do you have something
ending.
To say you want to say about your pussy before we go?
I'm good. You can see it, or you can't see it yet. It hasn't been leaked yet. I don't know. I have nothing to say.
Cool.
Go to my podcast for
Christ's sake. I will. It was fun. Thanks for doing
it. Thank you.
There you go. Right? Huh? That was some top-notch, full-on, shameless, owning it, dirty girl stuff. I love her. Her tour dates and tickets are at punchup.live/Steph Tolev or on her social pages. Hang out for a minute, folks.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
Moin, wir sind die Footballerei. Ich bin Kutsche.
Ich bin Flo.
Und ich bin Daniel.
Wir sind aber noch viele mehr. In der Footballerei gibt es American Football Freischnauze, überwiegend die NFL, in ganz vielen verschiedenen Formaten. Da ist für alle was dabei.
Das Frühstücksei zum Beispiel gibt es jeden Montag ab 5 Uhr als Podcast. In der Saison natürlich mit den ersten Reaktionen auf die Spiele des Wochenendes und in der Offseason versorgen wir dich hier mit allen frischen News aus dem NFL-Kosmos.
Dazu gibt es die bunte Welt der NFL in Kutsches Zirkus, hochspannende Kriminalfälle bei Hall of Crime und das Thema der Woche während der Saison in der Footballerei. Show.
Also, wenn dich American Football fasziniert, wirst du die große Auswahl in der Footballerei lieben. Wir freuen uns auf dich.
Folks, look, listen. The latest Ask Mark Anything episode is now posted for full Marin subscribers, where I answer whatever questions you folks can think up. Audiences used to mainly laugh and applaud. Now so many people feel the need to woo to demonstrate their approval. In your performing experience, when did audiences start wooing, and what do you think of it? I can't stand it, and I draw attention to it immediately and shut it down as soon as the first woo happens, because I believe a woo is not a response to a joke. They usually happen in moments of silence or in between jokes or when something is said that's not necessarily funny. I still think laughter and some applause is the way people respond to jokes. I think wooing is something that is primarily to seek attention by the wooer. I mean, I get it, but I'm very hard on it, and I try to shut it down as quickly as possible when I have a wooer, because it's disruptive. It's not celebratory, usually, after a certain point. To get bonus episodes twice a week, sign up for the full Marin by going to the link in the episode description or go to WTFpod.com and click on WTF Plus. And a reminder before we go, this podcast is hosted by Acast. Here's a bit of guitar from the vault. Vancouver! We'll be right back. Boomer lives. Monkey lives. La Fonda! Cat angels everywhere.